Morning, everyone. I'm Josiah. I'm one of the pastors here. I'm glad to be able to preach to all of you this morning. It was pretty cool that this year, since it's one of those years with an extra Sunday, that I got to start the year off and end the year. So I think that's pretty special. So we are, do we have a slide? We're getting that up soon. We've been going through Advent. So we, on Christmas, we finished off the fourth part of that series, which kind of ended that. But as I was just kind of going through things and thinking about it, I felt like, yeah, I want to do one more Sunday on this. Because depending what background you're from, they're still in the Christmas season. You hear 12 days of Christmas, tomorrow being the day that traditionally that the Hebrew boys would be circumcised, so it would be Jesus' circumcision. And then we have one more week for Epiphany, where the wise men came and visited Jesus. So I was thinking, okay, so we've been talking about God with us, and we've had our theme verse. Let's see if this is going to work. Yeah, so today I'm going to be talking about the present. We've been talking about Jesus coming to earth, being born, and what that means for us. But today we're going to kind of look at now for us today, how is God with us? So I'll read our verse and then we'll pray. So therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. See, the virgin will conceive and have a son and name him Emmanuel. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for sending your son and being with us, that we have this season to remember you, and also that we can do that throughout the year, Lord. Thank you for sending your spirit that fills us and that guides us and teaches us, and that you are with us, God, that we have something that that people before you came did not get to experience in the fullness that it is now. I pray you bless this reading of this word and for what we have to learn today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so Pastor David has been talking about, we had four different Sundays. So we talked about the purpose of Jesus coming to restore the relationship with God. And he has the power to reveal God, restore creation, and give us rest. And then there was the presence, his presence that brings us joy, peace, and hope. And lastly, the person of Jesus. What's the meaning behind his name, and also the parallels that they had. If you missed some of those and wanted to go back, they're always online too. As I was preparing and discerning what to preach on today, I talked about seeing the present and what we have now. So I'm going to read I'll give my first point first. So it's the long-anticipated presence. And I'll read the verse again that Tracy read for us, just because we're kind of going to be bouncing back and forth on that. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. So, this is something that was long awaited. From the beginning, when Adam was in the garden walking with God, and then there was the sin that separated Adam and Eve and us from God directly. For his spirit, it was only a temporary thing. People were not filled with the spirit for very long, at least. If we see in Numbers 11, so this is with Moses. So this is when the Israelites are going to see, they're complaining, they want meat, but God is about to start a covenant with them. And so he has Moses, Joshua, and 70 elders come to be in his presence, and they're going to worship God. While they're there, basically the Spirit comes down on them and it fills them. And there was two that were outside of the tent, and they were in the camp, and they were basically prophesying. And Joshua sees this and says, Moses, should we stop them from prophesying? Like, this is only for us. But this is what Moses says. So he replies, are you jealous for my sake? I wish that I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the people would put his spirit on them. So Moses, Joshua is maybe like, oh, this is your thing, Moses. You're the one that talks to God. But his desire was that everyone would be able to have this and that they would have God with them. But we see Jesus made it all possible by paying our debt and what was required because of our sin. Now that when the Father looks at us, he sees his Son. By accepting him as Savior and what he's done for us on the cross, we are made new and filled with that spirit that they longed so much for. We even see with Saul, when God's spirit was taken away from him, it was devastating for him. David, when he fell into sin, he feared it being taken away. But now we have the Spirit with us forever. So, in 1 Peter 2, 9, it says, 1 Peter 2, 9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness and into his wonderful life. So, yeah, we have access to what people didn't have before. The next part I'm going to talk about is the Holy Spirit with us. So in Acts 1, 6 to 11, when they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the time or the dates that the Father has sent by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in all Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and at the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intensely up at the sky, but he was where he was going. Then suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand there looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken up into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. So, we've been talking about God with us. God came down as man, Jesus, to be with us, to fulfill what he promised from the beginning. And then we see, okay, he's up. We don't see him physically anymore. But as we read in John, he's going to send the Spirit. So the Spirit's the third member of the Trinity, equaled. He is one of the three parts of God. He's also known by many names. He's the author of Scripture. For all the books that we have in the Bible, all 66 of them, they were inspired, each word, by him and through him. He's comforter, advocator, counselor, guide, spirit of truth, spirit of life, teacher, and he has many more names. But each one of these has an impact on us. So with Jesus being on earth, he could only be in one place at a time. In order to reach all of us, that's not possible. By ascending into heaven and sending the Spirit, he was able to be with all of us at the same time, because it shows a bit of his omnipresence. So there are two attributes that I want us to look at today: God's omniscience and his omnipresence. I think Psalms 139, David explains this really well. So, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where will I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make a bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn and settle at the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. if I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, and the darkness is as light to you." So I love this passage. When I was in seminary, they made us memorize it. I'm not great with memorization, but it's been very helpful for me, just knowing that God is with us. He knows us completely. I don't know if you have someone who knows you. Like, you can maybe think of the person who knows you the most. And for me, at least, that's comforting, knowing that God already knows what my failures are, what I'm going through, and that He still loves me, and He still loves you. No matter what you've done, that He knows and He cares for you. I reflect on this a lot. The next point is, how do we experience God more? So a lot of times we think, we're like, okay, it's hard for us to experience God. Like I had the balloon illustration earlier for the kids, is that sometimes we can see we can't see the wind, but we see its effect. For the Spirit, sometimes we can kind of forget or kind of brush things off for what He's doing. So how can we experience Him more? So God gives us ways that we can see to experience Him more. The first one is we can ask God for things. In Luke 11, 9 to 13, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For anyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you, even though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask of Him? All we have to do is ask. For fathers in this room, I will soon be a father, but I know definitely I cannot think of giving horrible gifts even to to even our students, our youth group students, like our kids, but knowing that all we have to do is ask Him. Throughout my life, I've found many times that I like to do things on my own. I like to try and get through it, and then find myself failing again and again. Just even throughout this last week, just a lot of things that were tiring and getting through it, just when I would ask Him for that strength and that rest, I would receive it. And yeah, He wants to be with you. He wants that relationship. So another thing that we can do is don't quench the Spirit. So the more we ignore the Spirit, the harder it gets for us to listen to it. I think of it kind of as like a nut or a bolt or whatever you have with a screwdriver. The more, like, the Spirit tells us, okay, this is where the line is, it's tight. But sometimes we like to just keep it going. We like to take it into our own hands. And yeah, it works it down and it makes it harder for us to use it more. So we need to be more aware of listening to His guidance. Another thing we can walk in the Spirit. In Ephesians 5, 8 to 13, for you were once darkness, but now you are in light. Now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds and darkness, but rather expose them. It is shame even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything is exposed by the light and becomes visible, and everything is illuminated becomes light. So as I was looking into the Spirit and kind of reading this in devotionals, I found some interesting pieces out from the Holy Spirit. Just talking about Him as a person. So sometimes we like to make it impersonal, but the Holy Spirit is a person as well. In Romans 8:26, we see that the Spirit prays for us. So he's constantly, even when we don't know how to pray for ourselves, we can ask him to pray. And he is an intercessor as well for us to talk. And also another one is that we can make the Spirit sad. He has emotions. He can be grieved when we treat each other poorly, when we're living, when we're lying, gossip, slander, when we're, just as everything we think about with Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit feels that in the same way. So, so we can walk in the Spirit. In Revelation 21, we'll turn there. So we've seen that where Jesus, he went up, he's going to come again. The Spirit is with us, mediating with us. We're able to have relationship with God. And here in 21:3-4, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will deal with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the order of things has passed away." There will be a time when we are no longer separated by physically, or that we go through the Spirit, but we will be with God directly. Someday when this earth and this world is done, if we know him and we love him, and we choose to follow Jesus, we will be with him in a new heaven and new earth. It's my desire. I hope to see every single one of you there. What I'm passionate about is that you know God. If you have any questions or that you're wanting to know more about him, you can always talk to me, to one of our deacons, deaconesses, or just most people here in the church. We want to... We want for you to know the love that God has for us. I'm going to close us in prayer. So if you'll bow your heads with me. Lord, just thank you for you being a God that's with us, that we can count on you, that whatever we need, we can ask of you, that you are a gracious Father that cares deeply for us. And if we even care so much about our children, you care so much more, God. You are love. Lord, I pray as we go out that we remember your presence with us, even though we can't see you always and that we can still hear your voice, that you're guiding us, that you're leading us through your word and through the people around us as well. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.